Tout don excellent, toute grâce parfaite, descend d'en haut. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. Dans l'épître d'aujourd'hui, Saint Jacques l'apôtre nous dit que tout don excellent, toute grâce parfaite, descend d'en haut, du Père des lumières. Les lumières du ciel, le soleil, la lune et les étoiles sont merveilleuses et magnifiques, mais elles ne sont pas divines, bien entendu. Si nous les observons de près, nous remarquons qu'elles changent de temps en temps. Parfois elles semblent plus grandes, parfois plus petites, et parfois même éclipsées toutes ensemble. Tous les corps sont susceptibles de changer de cette façon. C'est en fait ce que distingue les corps des esprits. Les corps peuvent changer, mais en Dieu, qui est pur esprit, n'existe aucune vicissitude ni ombre de changement. Comme le dit saint Paul, il est le même hier et aujourd'hui. Il le sera éternellement. Et pourtant, bien qu'il soit éternellement le même, il est capable d'agir dans le temps. Au commencement, Dieu créa le ciel et la terre. Dans ce qui est connu en théologie spéculative comme étant la thèse franciscaine, le premier décret de création de Dieu était l'incarnation de Jésus-Christ. Ce que veut dire qu'il a ordonné en toute éternité qu'il y créerait un jour la créature la plus parfaite, la nature humaine du Christ. Suivant la logique de cette thèse, le second décret de Dieu était la conception immaculée de la Sainte Vierge. La deuxième créature la plus parfaite, deuxième en dignité seulement après le Christ lui-même. Cela veut dire que Dieu a ordonné en toute éternité que son Fils le plus parfait devrait assumer la chair de la façon la plus parfaite, avec la cooperation de la très sainte Vierge Marie. C'est le sens le plus profond de cette phrase « Toute grâce parfaite descend d'en haut ». Dieu est le donneur parfait, car lui seul peut donner le don parfait, lui-même. Ce donneur merveilleux se hait, s'est donné lui-même à chacun de nous. Ainsi, tandis que chacun de nous est un fils naturel d'Adam, ou une fille naturelle d'Ève, selon la chair, nous sommes aussi, par le baptême, un fils adopté ou une fille adoptée du second Adam et de la seconde Ève. C'est ce que saint Jacques veut dire quand il écrit « De sa propre volonté, il nous a engendrés par la parole de la vérité, afin que nous soyons comme les prémices de ses créatures. » Nous sommes, pour ainsi dire, les prémices de ses créatures parce que notre naissance en Jésus-Christ a été pré-ordonnée, prévue, avant la création du monde. Pendant le temps pascal, remercions donc Dieu d'une manière toute spéciale de faire de nous participants de la gloire divine, participants du corps glorifié et ressuscité du Christ. Ainsi soit-il. The 40 days of Lent go by very slowly. But if you are like me, you experience the 40 days of Easter as tripping merrily along. And already next week, Ascension Thursday, the end of the 40 days proper of Eastertide, in a certain way, gets extended a little bit. But already you see today in the Gospel, Holy Mother Church is preparing us for the Ascension, and following that, the gift of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. And we see our Lord in today's Gospel, the discourse of the Last Supper, bringing to the attention of the disciples the fact of the great gift of the Holy Ghost. And he mentions, our Lord outlines a threefold mission of that Holy Ghost. And we'll meditate on each one of those points this morning just briefly. Our Lord says this: when the Holy Ghost is come, he will convince the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. It's a difficult passage. Our Lord himself gives a little bit of an exegesis, and then we'll rely on some of the fathers to help us some more. First, the Holy Ghost will convince or convict the world of sin, our Lord says, because they have not believed in me. In the first place, in the historical context, we think of those in Jerusalem, in Palestine, at the time of Pentecost. All of those hundreds and even thousands of men and women, perhaps who knew about the preaching of the Christ and of his death, but did not believe that he had risen from the dead. But then, with the great coming and power of the Holy Ghost, the miracles, the inspired preaching of St. Peter and the apostles, the Holy Ghost working through them to convict the hearts of men and women, to stir up in them contrition, penance, and belief. That is the work of the Holy Ghost, not only in the first century, in the early church, but now, today. It's the work of the Holy Ghost, the comforter, the advocate, the paraclete, as they say in Greek, who helps the conscience, strengthens the conscience, stirs up those thoughts of repentance and conversion. That is all the work of the Holy Ghost, his first mission, as stated by Christ. In the second place, our Lord says, I send the Holy Ghost to convince the world of justice, because I go to the Father. This is the most difficult one to understand. What does our Lord mean when he says that the Holy Ghost will convict the world of justice? We have to, well, we'll think of it in this way, one of several possible interpretations. At the death of Christ, we have the greatest injustice ever worked, ever possible to be worked, completed. The putting to death of a perfect human nature. If our Lord had not risen from the dead, then that would be the victory of Satan. Death and injustice would rule the day. And then we would have to say, along with all those who do not believe in the resurrected Christ, truly there is no justice in the world if even one man can be put to death unjustly. Nevertheless, as we know, Christ did indeed rise from the dead. And if he did not, as St. Paul says, we are among all men the most to be pitied. Without the true bodily resurrection of Christ, we have nothing. But since Christ is truly risen from the dead, We see that there is, in fact, justice in the world. And injustice was worked against Christ, but God used that to work an even greater justice. He humbled himself unto death and then was exalted above the place he even had before. Not with respect to his divinity, who can't be elevated beyond that, but with respect to his humanity. The humanity that Christ had received from the womb of the Blessed Virgin is like yours and mine in all things, save concupiscence, no mark of original sin. But the human nature he received from the Father, as a gift, you might say, a reward for the humility of the cross, was a glorified and resurrected body, as we see in all those wonderful gospel narratives. His human nature was elevated beyond what it had been before. The justice of God is preserved. Now you might say, well, that's all very well, but our Lord ascends from earth. He leaves this world after 40 days. And then how can you say that justice is in the world because the Christ has resurrected and gone out of it? Perhaps if there were only two persons in the Blessed Trinity, which is impossible, you could say that. But Christ goes, why? If I do not go, I cannot send to you the Paraclete. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he will teach you and lead you into all truth. And so the justice which belongs to Christ, our head, is communicated mystically to the members of his mystical body through the work of the Holy Ghost. We receive it in baptism, in a new way stirred up in our confirmation, the seven gifts. That is the justice of Christ, won by Christ for us, working now in the world through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we can say, in a true and strict sense, that there is justice in the world. If we look at the lives of the saints, we see this in a clear way. Little rays of the love and justice of God flaming out and piercing the darkness of injustice and iniquity which abound in the world. And the third mission of the Holy Ghost, which of course is closely bound up with the first two, our Lord says the Holy Ghost will convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world is already judged. If you've watched any kind of television drama or read good plays, you know that sometimes, oftentimes, there is time between the judgment that the judge makes and the actual execution or completion of the sentence. They don't happen immediately at the same time. There's a span of time. And so the judgment of Christ was rendered upon his harrowing of hell and his resurrection from the dead. Satan and all the angels immediately judged. Indeed, they had been judged before, but in a new and definitive way, the judgment of the world was made. Christ broke the bonds of sin and death. In terms of the execution of the sentence, that will vary. The sentence will only be definitively rendered, of course, at the end of time. But for each one of us, of course, the moment of our death is that little judgment. And so when we read about the Holy Ghost judging the world, there are those double aspects, the already and not yet. already the judgment. Every time we sin, at the moment of the sin, there's a judgment. Christ executes a perfect judgment. But the sentence usually is suspended. Because of his mercy, he grants us time, each one of us time. The dogma of the faith defines that each man, each woman, receives sufficient grace for conversion. Everyone in the world, on the desert island, the Muslim, the Jew, the Protestant, the Catholic, everyone receives sufficient grace. Of course, the mystery of free will, will that person cooperate with that sufficient grace? That is a great mystery. As we know, many men and women do not cooperate with that grace. And at the moment of their death, the judgment, which was already rendered provisionally, then is made definitive. And this reflection is most fitting, I think, in the month of May, the month of Our Lady. We think especially of Our Lady of Fatima and her very simple words were not just for those holy children, but for us as well. Pray and do penance for the conversion of the world. And that conversion is essentially a work of the Holy Ghost, but he wants us to cooperate with him and work in us in the world. To that end, then, I will leave you with this thought, this prayer of St. Augustine, which he had at the end of his homily on today's Gospel. Turning now to the Lord our God, the Father Almighty, let us as best we can give thanks with all our hearts, beseeching him that in his goodness he will mercifully hear our prayers, and by his grace drive evil from our thoughts and actions, increase our faith, guide our minds, grant us his holy inspirations, and bring us to joy eternal through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, and Ave Maria.